You're listening to an ESA podcast brought to you by the Ecological Society of America. ESA, promoting the science of ecology.
I'm Nadine Lin, and this is Field Talk, a podcast produced by the Ecological Society of America. In Field Talk, we learn more about the work of authors whose papers have been published in the Society's journals, Ecology, Ecological Applications, and Ecological Monographs. Today, I'm talking with Jason Holmberg. Holmberg is the lead author of a paper that appeared in the Society's journal, Ecological Applications, in January of 2008. Holmberg is a computer programmer who spends considerable time volunteering with EcoOcean, a nonprofit association focused on marine conservation. Holmberg's co-authors on the paper are Brad Norman and Zavin Artsimanian. Norman is an Australian marine scientist and Artsimanian is an astronomer. The trio brought their respective areas of expertise together to devise an effective way to measure whale shark populations. In a nutshell, how would you describe your research?
Our research group is called EcoOcean. We're an Australian nonprofit, and we are a global-scale marker capture effort for whale sharks. Our research is fairly novel for a number of reasons. One is we work collaboratively with divers, ecotourism operators, conservation authorities, and marine biologists to collect data for whale sharks. We work on a global scale. We use advanced pattern recognition to identify whale sharks, and that's really catching on and replacing the traditional plastic marker tags that were previously used. And it's a much more successful way to carry out marker capture. We've been able to run 12 and 13-year population models. Plastic marker tags were failing much more quickly than that. Also, we operate transparently as a nonprofit, and all of our data is directly visible on our website. You can go directly to whaleshark.org and see all of our whale shark encounters and all the identified individual whale sharks that we track.
What drives your research questions?
We really want to understand the pressures of whale sharks as a species. Anecdotally, the World Conservation Union considers them to be vulnerable to extinction based on catch records at specific fisheries. But this is really based on very scarce data. It's not based on traditional marker capture where we actually identify and track individuals. And it really doesn't answer the primary question of why is the species in decline. We're trying to answer that by performing good, accurate, reliable marker capture on the species. And whale sharks are an ideal candidate for pattern recognition by computers because they have such distinctive and unique spot patterns. It's just really ideal for collecting data because we don't need to actually have researchers in the field. We can rely on ecotourism operators and their customers, divers. And as I said, we really want to understand the life history of this species and whether they require more conservation actions and what measures actually will result in good conservation of the species. For example, there are very strict ecotourism operation guidelines in effect at Ningaloo Reef in Western Australia, which was the focus area for our paper in Ecological Applications. These guidelines appear not at least to be interfering with the health of the species. We found a moderate increase in the population size of those sharks were faithfully returning to the reef year after year. So we environmental conservation in Western Australia are adequate and very positive measures to prevent pressure on the species from ecotourism. And we're hoping to see those guidelines enforced and in place elsewhere. So that's a good first start to understanding the species. And it was really the first set of results that we can show from our project to show, hey, not only can we collect 10 times the amount of data that was previously collectible, but we can also show a scientific benefit.
What are some of the challenges you have faced in your work?
We're a bit non-traditional in how we go about our work. Because we work with multiple stratas of society, divers, businessmen who are tourism operators, conservation and land management authorities, as well as traditional academic researchers, we have to be very nimble in how we deal with people. And, for example, we regularly encounter academic competitiveness. And one of the things we've had to communicate is that just because data is being shared doesn't mean your results are going to be written up by somebody else. Rather, we can learn from each other's data by making it visible, yet different academic researchers can write up their own results. And to a large extent, we've been able to overcome that barrier, and we're getting a lot of individuals starting to put data in, realizing that it's in our best interest and their best interest to work together we also see ecotourism competitiveness, where different dive shops want to sell themselves as being more eco-friendly by working exclusively with us, and we don't want to follow that operational model. And to a large extent, we've seen great cooperation from what turned in what was initially competitiveness to be the best whale shark dive operator or snorkeling outfit. We've seen different groups, especially in Utila, Honduras, Ningaloo Reef, and Western Australia, start working together and actually pooling all their data and putting it into the EcoOcean Whale Shark Photo Identification Library. And that's been really positive to see dive shops in a locale get together and help in the conservation of something that's beneficial to their economy, which is whale shark ecotourism. Also, technology was a huge issue. Just the tools we needed to do global scale marker capture just did not exist off the shelf. And so we had to build all of our tools from the ground up, and that's where I came in as a programmer, really to build a web-based framework for data collection, for standardized analysis, and for export to population modeling programs to try to get the scientific results we're aiming for. Our main barriers were really people-oriented and technology-oriented. Initially, we also thought it would be scarcity of data with whale sharks, which are very rare creatures. However, what we're finding is there are these reliable aggregations, and more there are tourism industries being based upon them. And we're really seeing unprecedented levels of data flowing, and we're growing 80 to 100% per year in the amount of data that we collect. And this has just been really fascinating to us to see that this is a rare animal, yet all of a sudden by working with ecotourism operators and by working with different research institutions, there's a whole lot of data available, and we're really having to rely upon volunteers to help us process this data, go through it, and it becomes a people challenge again of how do we make sure that our analysis guidelines are faithfully followed and enforced. And we're beginning to look at the ways of enforcing peer review to ensure that individuals are accurately identified and to ensure that we don't have a great big peer review process at the end when we're writing up our results, but rather a lot of that work is front-loaded.
You touched on this a bit, which is what drew you into this field of research, you know, your computer programmer skills teamed up with these other folks to address this problem. But can you elaborate a bit more, and do you see that a continuing area of expansion?
I think it's absolutely essential, actually, moving forward in this information age. I'm a volunteer for EcoOcean. I'm a sort of an extreme volunteer in that I'm working every single day, either programming or processing data or writing up results. And I'm very closely integrated with our marine biologist, Brad Norman, with the NASA astronomer we work with on pattern recognition, Zavinar Zumbanian. It's been really interesting. I started out as a diver. I then went on a trip in the fall of the same year, which was 2002, and encountered more whale sharks in Mexico, and was able to work with a few marine biologists from the Shark Research Institute and see that the plastic tags that were deployed for marker capture. And I was shocked to find out that they had a less than 1% success rate in reciting these tags. And even that, those recites were generally recited in less than a year. So long-term population models, even as far back as 2002, were just not possible in whale shark research. And I felt as a computer programmer that I really could make a difference. And I was at a point in my life where I really needed something that would make me feel like I was doing more than the corporate 9-to-5. And so I began working on the problem and began working with Brad Mormon and Zarvan Arzamanian, who are the co-authors on our study, on this challenge. And it was very frustrating along the way, the number of different approaches and avenues we tried that didn't work out. And finally, we found the avenues and the approaches that did. And what we found out was that pattern recognition was our initial challenge, but finding a framework to reliably collect and process and analyze the data was 90% of the work. And then the pattern recognition just ended up being 10. And we ended up publishing a paper on the pattern recognition and then building an online library that individuals can contribute data to from all over the world. And we're really looking at how can other volunteers contribute in such a manner. And I've really, really benefited a lot from my experience as a volunteer. And I really hope that a lot of IT professionals will build some bridges into the research community and contribute their skills and expertise. This is beneficial also to the research community. It is not in the interest of a marine biologist to program their own software. Rather, that's better left to experts who can do it reliably and professionally. It's in the best interest of a marine biologist to analyze the data and use their experience to do the higher order tasks. And I think by collaborating across different spectrums of professions, truly interdisciplinary volunteer efforts, we can really allow each individual in a research team to maximize their impact by doing what they do best. Really, everyone's eyes have been opened to the fact that there's a lot more whale shark data that can be collected out there, especially if it's collected in a collaborative manner. And our study was one of the first to show that you can generate really effective population models off of this volunteer collected data, off this collaborative effort. So the response has been very positive. We really got the collaboration and cooperation that we needed. And it's really exciting to see that happening more and more. It's exciting to receive large DVDs of data from individual researchers who are now contributing to a global collaborative effort.
That was Jason Holmberg telling us more about his work with whale sharks and his collaboration with colleagues in other disciplines. I'm Nadine Lin. Thanks for listening to Field Talk.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Ecological Society of America. Music was provided by Dr. Nicholas Catelli. For a link to Dr. Catelli's homepage, more information about ESA, or additional podcasts, please visit www.esa.org. Thanks for listening.